are built for marriage. And that is God's will for by far the most of you. And most of you will someday be married. And the fact that God has made you for marriage is one of the reasons we want to try to address some of these things tonight.
Okay. We wanted to bring to your mind, first of all, the biblical references are the foundation for which we share tonight. And you may be familiar with some of these scriptures, but you might want to take them down, because as we're sharing, we want you to realize we're speaking from a Christian viewpoint. And this is, it's like a fish swimming upstream sometimes. And it's especially this particular topic in our world today. Genesis 2:18 says that the woman is to be a helpmeet. She's a completer. She is a helper to a man. I'll not give you scripture references necessarily for the fact that she's to be a mother, but we know that Eve was the mother of all mankind, and that all through the scriptures we see the principle of motherhood. She has a desire for children that the man perhaps does not have as strong. She has a special concern and a care for children that men do not feel so strongly. Genesis 3:16, it says she was made subject to the man. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, it says again that she's subject to the man, but it's in that particular verse, it's talking about as the husband or the man is subject to Christ and Christ is subject to God. So she is no more inferior to the man than Jesus is inferior to God. 1 Peter 3:7 says that she's a weaker vessel. And we know that a woman has a capacity for tenderness and gentleness. 1 Corinthians 11:7 through 9 says she is the glory of man. And in the lives of Ruth, we see a capacity of loyalty. And in the life of Esther, of modesty, a woman, I think we would realize that she has a greater sense of modesty than a man does. We all can learn ugliness later on in life, but basically we're more modest. Galatians 3:28 says she is made equal to man. And then there are many passages indicating her relationship of disciple to the Lord. We see in the life of Anna a life of devotion. The women who followed Jesus are other examples, and Mary and Martha who sat at the feet of Jesus to learn. Proverbs 31 talks about her being very industrious. In fact, we laughingly call her the bionic Christian woman because she did so many things it nearly makes you tired. But as we read there, we see that these things were done in the context, or they were home-centered type industries. Titus 2, 4, and 5 says we are to be keepers at home. And I think down deep, if we were to express our desire as women, all of us, as Christian women, in life, it's to be godly, it's to be fulfilled, and to make a contribution in life. And yet a problem has developed. Romans 12, 2 in the Phillips says, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your mind from within, that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity." But this is what's happened. The world has squeezed us as Christian women into its own mold, and we've let it do it. We've listened to our culture, which says, "You're just a housewife? Well, you must be crazy." Identity seems only to be of value if you can be known by your profession, your accomplishments in the working world. You know, a man finds his self-esteem by being respected for his accomplishments, and this generally comes from his business. Now, a wife is also responsible for some of this respect, but she is not his only source of self-esteem. She's not the only factor in life that keeps his emotional tank full. Women feel worthy when they're loved, understood, and appreciated. James Dobson said that these two factors are probably the most important personality distinctions between the sexes. And that is that the man finds his fulfillment basically in his job, and the woman finds her fulfillment in being loved by her man. And in being loved and being cared for, and the fulfillment of, the responsibility and the caring for the home. If a woman in her home is deprived of this love and appreciation and self-worth, she'll automatically head toward that which she sees brings value to the life of a man, and that's his job or his profession. After all, she's certainly capable. She was college educated right alongside him. This feeling of self-worth and accomplishment is so important to all of us, and especially to the woman, that she will sacrifice her home and family on the altar of the paycheck, prestige, and independence. And Christian or not, there is a deep sense within all of us about what we were created for. And a woman will often find herself then in both roles, that of a homemaker of sorts, she's trying, but more than likely a poor housekeeper because of the lack of time and energy she has to give to her home. Plus, she's also trying to be a breadwinner, the role of the man, to which she really gives her best energy. And she finds she really can't hold out physically. The next logical resort, in order to keep her job, which is very important to her, for her self-esteem, is that her husband must begin to assume his share of the responsibilities at home. Although a man may be capable of doing some of these things and doing them quite well, he was not created for this and is not as well equipped by God to handle the home and the children as well as his wife. You might be interested to look in the Better Homes and Gardens February 82 issue. There's an article there on how working affects marriage. And it's talking about both men and women, but it directly relates to the wife. And you'd be interested to see how some of the people really responded regarding the problems that working women have created. But in all this, we see a role reversal. The woman trying to force the man to take her home responsibilities, to take his share, and she's trying to do to perform in the working world. And there's really no sense of rightness for either partner. You know, God never intended this, I don't believe. In Proverbs 12:4, it says, "A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman plucks it down with her own hands." A woman will never be fulfilled in a man's role, try as she may. It's our opinion, and it's certainly not popular today, and you don't have to agree with us, but that as far as we can see in Scripture, that a married woman's place is in her home. In other words, her primary responsibility, apart from God, is her family and her home, and these must be first. Because many women and men, both, have listened to the culture, we find our society today suffering from the consequences of broken homes, bitter ex-partners, emotionally disturbed children, latchkey kids. Perhaps you don't understand that term, but it's the kids that go to school wearing a key around their neck so they can get home when they go in the house when they get home because there's no one home to let them in. Abused children and wholesale adultery. And you know, I just heard had the television on hearing Richard Hogue yesterday, and he had a group of people on. They were married. There were people that were divorced, and they were appealing to the public for their mate to return the children. And they were showing pictures of the children on the television saying, "If you've seen these children and my ex-wife has got them somewhere off somewhere, and they didn't know where, please bring them back." And it was sad. There was a whole audience full of people like that. We know that there are many excuses and really many valid reasons for working women, but you cannot escape the consequences. Are they really worth it? And we hear much about inflation, that the woman has got to work. And, you know, we've even heard of a situation where a man was under financial pressure, and his wife tried to take the pressure off of him by going to work. And when she helped his financial problem out, he left her for another woman. He said, "Well, you know, I realized I was really worried I was going to stick with the marriage and stay with you because I realized, you know, that you really needed me." But he said, "Now I see you don't." And it was a pressure God was putting on him, perhaps to change and get a better job, to find another way to provide, and yet she had stepped in and taken that pressure. Women were made to complete, not compete. And that's what we find ourselves doing many times with men. And I just heard a statement the other day that just had such a hollow ring to it. This woman on television was saying something about, "Sure did feel good to beat that man." And I thought, "Oh, lady, did it really?" You can't legislate equality and respect. And of course, that's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to make laws to say, "Hey, respect us as women. Pay us right." These things must be earned, the respect and the equality. Demanded love is a hollow victory.
There needs to be a return in our day to the purpose for which God created us. And certainly there's some changes that need to be made. But I think the real key lies with a man. The role of a woman in her home needs to be elevated. He must provide her with enough love, appreciation, and gratitude to help her see that she's an integral part of the team. Without her keeping things going smoothly on the home front, he cannot do what he needs to do on his own job or in the business world. And he needs to make sure that she is loved and appreciated. And you know, one of the things we've noticed with so many men, any time a woman provides a meal, a great deal goes even into preparing a good meal. There has to be planning, there has to be purchases, there has to be much work. And yet, one of the reasons so many women are looking for satisfaction outside their home is because they're not finding it there. Because the husband and the children are not appreciative of what she does, because they're not praising her and bringing joy to her where she feels that what she's doing is significant, then she will go outside the home to try to earn a paycheck or do something out there where she is appreciated. And so I think that the real key, and I think as we share some of these things with you tonight, you need to think about that. I have been in many, many homes where it's so obvious to me why the woman would be dissatisfied there. And yet, knowing and having been in godly homes where the wife is appreciated for what she's doing, where she's encouraged, she has opportunity for outside development, for ministry, and some fabulous things that can go on. But she will not be satisfied unless much of the feedback comes from her husband. When a man goes out on his job to work, he receives a paycheck, he's commended for his good work. But oftentimes that same man will go home where his wife has been working, where she's been helping to make his home a place where he had loved to come, to be a mother to his children, and yet she does not receive there the appreciation which she needs. And so, men, I think this is one of the things that you need to learn about. You fellas, you need to read, you need to learn everything you can, because eventually the woman in your home and where she's satisfied there, being in the role where God's put her, will to a large degree depend upon what you do.
Because the scripture says that men and women are to be one flesh, it is very natural for a woman to find her identity in her husband. And yet the world today looks with disfavor upon you when you say, well, I'm Mrs. Max Barnett. Well, yes, but who are you? Well, see, and they want me to say I'm Sandra Barnett in my own right. Well, the scripture says that we adapt ourselves to our own husbands, and yet we must every day, you'll hear this, not every day, but many days you'll hear this, do your own thing, be your own person. And that's fine to a certain degree, but we have no reason to be ashamed of whom the fact that we're married and that we enjoy it.
One of the things that we think is very important is for you to learn to understand the differences between men and women. You know, there's an article here that I have a copy of from a Cosmopolitan magazine, March 1982. And it's a fantastic article. You ought to read it. We'll have some here later if you'd be interested in a copy. And the title of the article is Anatomy Destiny. And it basically says this, that science, the behavioral sciences, medicine, all ranks of studies today are proving that men and women not only look different, they act differently, they think differently. And no amount of dolls for boy babies and trucks for girl babies can completely alter this. Recent research has established beyond a doubt that male and females are born with a different set of instructions built into their genetic code. Now, for many, many years, the whole educational world has tried to deny this. We thought if we can raise a boy and a girl in the same environment and raise them alike, the biological thing is very, very unimportant. Now, these studies, and this is just a compilation of a number of studies been made, will blow that completely out of the water. Let me just read a thing or two to you. Female infants are more oriented towards people. Girls learn to recognize individual human faces and to distinguish between individual voices before male babies do the same age. By 4 months, a female infant is socially aware enough to distinguish between photographs of familiar people. Girls learn to talk earlier. They articulate better. They have a more extensive vocabulary than boys of a comparable age. They begin to smile earlier than boys. If you don't believe that, you ought to go over to John Angela's home and watch your little twin sometime. I remember we'd go over there and Emily would just smile and he'd just... Male infants are more interested in things. At 4 months, a boy will react to an inanimate object as readily as to a person. But the girl will always choose her mother's face over a bright geometric object. But the little boy will try to get a hold of it and figure it out. And a few months later, he'll try to take it apart.
That's for sure.
The whole in teaching, basically through the universities and things, through many, many years, has been that there's really no difference between boys and girls. That they act and think the same. And if boys and girls were brought up in the same way, they would contend that all behavioral differences between men and women would evaporate. This notion has all but collapsed, as researchers in both the social and scientist world are finding that what they believe is evidence of a genetic composition, and it's built into a person. There is a fantastic difference between men and women. So we're going to talk about those for a little bit.
That's where you are.
Okay.
Help her. Go ahead, Deborah.
I got your page.
There you go.
All right, here we go. Okay, here we go. I found it. Genesis 1:18 says one of the most phenomenal things that the Bible records, and it says, "Male and female created He them." That's Genesis 1:28. Genesis 1:28. "Male and female created He them." That is, God created them, male and female. Now, the real novelty is that these differences are ignored or denied. For several decades, it's been fashionable among educated people to deny these differences. Now, if the differences were only environmental, then they're really not real, because you can change the environment of the situation and you'd change the person. And one of the things one of the writers says is, our American society has the best educational system that's ever been known to man. However, there is no other pillar of society that is doing more to cause the destruction of the American marriage than our educational system. One girl said, I went to the university, they taught me how to be a man, and now I must learn how to be a woman. And this is basically true. You girls will be educated exactly like the men. You'll be taught your profession. You'll sit side by side in a man in the classroom. You'll be taught to act like a man, and you will have to learn to act like a woman. Now, let's talk about some of those differences. Men and women react differently to everything under the sun. They are psychologically different. This innate is not a result of convention, custom, training, or of public opinion. But there are differences. One of these is that men, and these are generalities, and I'm aware of this, generalities. There are exceptions, but basically men tend to be more logical, more and more rational. Now, lest some of you girls get all bent out of shape over that, it is not to say, and I'm here to say, that being rational is not better than being emotional. It's just different. But men tend to be more rational. They tend to think things through, and the honest truth is that women can make decisions faster normally, because they will make them on an emotional basis, whereas it's the very nature of man. He's got to think it through, and even takes pride in himself at times and having to think it through, but God has made him that way.
And as he said, women tend to be, we are emotional. We don't tend to be that way, we are. And a lot of times we will base our thoughts, you might say, on our feelings. And you'll ask a girl, what do you think about so-and-so? Well, she'll say, I feel like we should. And everything that comes out generally is I feel. It does not mean we do not think. It means that we have a God-given intuition. And the intuition in a woman is very, very real. And a woman makes decisions a lot quicker than men. sometimes because they're thinking. You know, he's still thinking. Sometimes I'll make a statement, Max, what do you think about so-and-so? And, of course, he makes the mistake of not saying a word. And then I say, Max, Max. And he says, I'm thinking, I'm thinking. But we tend to make decisions rapidly as a result. And it doesn't mean they're always right, but it does. Sometimes they are. And it's a valuable thing for a wife, for a husband to have the input of his wife's intuition.
And that intuition is oftentimes built on observation. Like many times I've asked Sandra about a certain thing, and she said, well, I just don't feel like that'd be good. Well, why? Well, I just don't feel like it would. And see, now fellas, if you don't understand that about girls, that will drive you up the wall. And one of the reasons I think there's so much problems in marriage today is the honest fact that we have never seen the difference in the way God made them. And fellas, if you want that girl to think like you do, forget it. She will never live long enough to think like you. And if you think that the way you think is right and the way she thinks is wrong, then you ought to stay single. You really should. And I think much of the problems that's coming in marriage today is the fact that couples get married and they never learn to understand each other. And in 1 Peter 3:7 it says, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. In other words, you are to learn something about her. And we think differently. Many times when I'll press Sandra about the issue, she'll say, well, did you notice the other night when this fellow was over here and all the people were around that he would always wait for someone to serve him? Did you notice when it was over and we were taking up the chairs, he had never, you know, offered to help and all of that? And I find when I'm asking her about a certain individual, she has all kinds of things that she's observed and seen that have gone into her mind. And then that intuition comes out, but it's based on a lot of facts. So fellas, don't ever become proud for the fact that you think and they don't, because she's probably observed a lot of things that you didn't and thought about them. And that's why it comes out as a feeling, but there's a lot of thought behind it. The other thing I want to say is men are more active. They tend to be more venturesome and aggressive. And that's just built into them. A little boy, you know, he'll get this truck and beat on it. I mean, he'll slap it up against the wall, and God made him that way, and he is just more aggressive and more adventuresome. Little boys will do that. They'll tend to venture further away from their mother and for longer periods of time when they're growing up, more than little girls will.
And women were made to be responders. And remember what we said, women are made to complete. And we complement each other. It's like two pieces of a puzzle fitting together. We need each other. But there are going to be some pieces that stick out, so to speak. But that's part of the plan, to fit together.
The woman is also more affected by praise or blame than the man. She tends to be a responder, and so the way people respond to her is very important to her. The man tends to be more stable and more self-controlled about big things. He doesn't as easily go up in smoke or blow up.
And I think the woman is a little less daring. We talked about the man being venturesome. The woman is less daring in dangerous situations. You'll see a few women that fly these things off the sides of cliffs, but not the majority, right? She's not sure of herself at times, and she doesn't trust her own decision, so she'll tend to hold back at times, wanting you to make the decision. And she, because she is emotional, she is a little less controlled in many circumstances.
Let me say at this point, this is one of the reasons, fellas, girls don't want you to pick them up for a date and then say, where would you like to go eat? See?
Amen.
We were
amen, girls.
2 weeks ago, Sandra and I were doing a conference at the University of Wyoming, and we're talking with some students. One boy is taking us back to the airport, and he said, you know, I don't understand it. He said, I try to be nice to my girlfriend. I'll pick her up and say, where would you like to go eat? Well, see what that says. That says volumes to her. You really haven't thought about what we're going to do. And girls don't like that. They want you. Now, you decide, and then if they don't want to go there, you can decide someplace else. But make the decision.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay. That that gives you a feeling of being unplanned for. You know, I'm not special enough that you don't care to plan where we go. And I like him to say, I thought about taking you to so-and-so and so-and-so tonight. Is that okay with you? Or would you like, is there something else you'd like to do? And a lot of times I'll say, fine. You know, but at least it says he's thinking about me.
Another thing, men are more irritable, and if you don't believe this, it is true. Men tend to be more irritable, they tend to be more excitable and impatient regarding little things. And I can attest to that fact that it's certainly true around our home. Little, you know, things drive me up the wall, little dinky things. Go do the, you know, this needs to be fixed, that needs to be fixed. And men do. I think by their very nature, they tend to see the overall big picture and little details they're not good at normally.
And women are very good at details. We have trouble sometimes as he throws out an idea. He's got this big deal in his mind. He talks about it. And so all of a sudden my mind begins to think, okay, how can we do it? And I start thinking, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? What about this? And he just says, wait, I haven't even decided I'm going to do it yet, you know. But this is the reason that a secretary is so good in working, that it's good to have a woman secretary because she's thinking of detail.
The man tends to be more optimistic and he tends to be more businesslike, and that's just his nature.
A woman is more conscious, socially conscious, and I thought it was interesting to point out to me that you don't have a men's section in the newspaper. I mean, you have the sports page, but, you know, the women's sections, they'll have recipes and brides and the whole works, you know, and the social recognition. So women are more conscious of social recognition than men.
Men tend to be less concerned about what other people think about them. But women receive much of their input from people around them, and what other people thinks about them does tend to affect their day.
Marriage to a man, this is something that we just had articulated to us recently, and I thought it was very, very interesting. And that marriage to a man is a challenge. In other words, a guy gets out of high school, I mean, it's a challenge to graduate. He goes to college, a challenge, you know, okay, let's get married. And that's a challenge, a mountain to climb. And he climbs that, and then the next thought, okay, now what? And it's the job. And a man is, that's an automatic thing with him. To a woman, marriage is a relationship. And that's the reason when you get married, you'll find that your wife is saying, forget about that job right now. Come, you know, pay attention. Things are not right here at home. And it really is disturbing to a wife if she feels like he's going off and leaving her, or if he's not interested in what she's interested in at times, if he's not paying attention, if he's going his own way. And I think it's important to realize that women are nest builders. You know, we're very concerned about what's going on in our realm of the home and the relationship with our husband.
Recently, I was talking to a friend. The doctor said a patient came in and he asked him how his wife was. And he said, well, she left me just recently. He said, one day I came in. We'd been married for 20 years. She was packing her bags and said she was leaving. He said, I didn't even know anything was wrong. And, you know, one of the things that's amazing in the society today, because the man tends to be challenge-oriented. He gets married, that was a challenge, and now, you know, that challenge is over, let's go to something else. And he goes to his job, and he will not many times work on that relationship with his wife. And so many times when he thinks things are going well, they aren't really going well, because the relationship is not being built, because he's moved on to a new challenge. Another thing that is very, very important for you to learn, and that is that a man will use words to convey facts. A woman will use words to convey feelings. You want to expound on that?
Not necessarily. I think that that says what we're...
For example, used this with somebody.
Expound on that, honey.
I told some of you about the lawnmower illustration. You're mowing your lawn in the backyard. You see the man across the fence mowing his yard. He's got a new lawnmower. So you ask him. You stop and talk. Say, where'd you buy your lawnmower? He said, Sears. You don't think anything about it. You talk for a little bit, go and mow your lawn. You ask him a question, wanting some facts, he gave you the facts. No big deal. Then you go in that night for dinner, you have guests over, and I say to Sandra, where'd you get this steak? And I'm cutting it. Where'd you buy the steak? Now, what do you think she thinks? Does she say, Safeway?
Why? Right. What's wrong with it?
See that immediately. You can ask a simple question. Where did you buy the steak? And she'll say, what's wrong with it?
See, we're reading into things and taking things personally. And we do. When somebody makes a statement, we think, I bet they're talking about me. You know, and men don't do that. Men tend to pass it off.
One day when Carolyn Teague was at Glen Eyrie, John Crawford said to her, Carolyn, I really like that dress you had on yesterday. We'll explain that to you fellas later. So, you know what she said? You don't like the one I had on today? You know what John Crawford did? And he just went through the ceiling. Carolyn, I don't even know. I just made a simple statement. I like the dress you had on yesterday. You see, there's a difference. Men will use words to convey facts. Many times, Sandra will say something, and that is not even close to what she's saying. One time, Jack Mayhall said they had guests in their home. And one evening, his wife said, after several days of having guests in her home and the guests had left, his wife said to him, honey, we're not going to have dinner guests tonight. And so he tried to think, now, what does she mean by that? I mean, you know, he knew they weren't going to have dinner guests. They just left. She is no more trying to tell him they're not going to have dinner guests. So he picked up on it. He said, honey, would you like to go out to eat? She said, yeah. Now, fellas, if you will learn that, it will save you.
How did you learn that?
It will save you untold heartache in life. But you're going to have to learn two languages. One is English, what they're saying, and the other one is what do they mean by what they said.
That's when you can use that ability to think. Yeah. Put that into play. Men play to win. They're very competitive. And, you know, when a woman plays a game and we lose, it doesn't ruin our day. We enjoy playing sometimes. We like to win, too, but we can enjoy playing for the sake of playing the game. But we found that women have discovered that men like to win at all costs. And that one thing that really helps, little things count to a woman. It's not the big things. Now, the mink coats and all, that'd be nice, you know. But that is not really what speaks love to me. In fact, a little, just one flower, not a dozen roses. It doesn't have to be the dozen roses. Now, if you insist, okay, but... But, I mean, it's just the thought that, hey, he thought about me today. See, that's the tendency, is that men tend to get wrapped up in their business. Now, and the reason women need this little bit of appreciation, if you haven't picked this up, is that, men, you think now, would you give day after day cleaning the house? We have dirty work. We have dirty dishes, dirty diapers, dirty house, dirty clothes. And no man, I don't see any man clamoring after the role of a woman. Do you? But that's not so bad if we know that you are appreciative, that you're grateful. And the little things, see, say, hey, thanks, I appreciate it. And man, I'll do all the dirty dishes and all the dirty clothes if I think that it's helping him to be a success. And we're part of the team together. It's not he's running off and leaving me, but we're together. And I am making a contribution.
Men also can easier work, like, for example, two men that do not agree can work at the same job, even not like each other, but function for a common goal. It's very hard for two women who don't like each other to work together. Yeah. They're very, very transparent at that point. Very much more than men are. We need to bring this to a close, and I want to say this to you. There are two articles here, one that we'll have available, and there's another one that by next Thursday night, if you'd like, there's a little book called The Essence of Marriage, and there's a chapter there called The Psychological Differences Between Men and Women, and I've talked to the man who wrote it. The book's now out of print, but we will have those available here next week. They're probably be around 50 cents or so, but if you would pick up that little booklet, that will be one of the most helpful things I think you'll ever read in your life. And one of the things that's been our desire tonight is just to kind of open a door to you that fellows and girls are different. God made them that way. Society is not going to change that. And girls, I would say to you, as Sandra said, I don't know any men that are trying to get your job. Now, don't you dare let the society in which you live try to make you like a man. God didn't make you, and all it will do is to destroy you. You know, homemaking employs a wide variety of jobs, and it demands much experience, more than any college degree will ever give you. And a woman to the varying degrees is a nurse. She's a household engineer, gourmet cook, seamstress, purchasing agent, communication expert, correspondent, interior decorator, bookkeeper, gardener, counselor, errand runner, hostess, social worker, gift buyer, taxi driver, and probably a lot of things that we haven't written down here.
And see, you don't get bored. There's no time to get bored with all those responsibilities.
And not only that, but Titus 2:4-5 says the older women should teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, be discreet, chaste. Women, you do not dream of the ministry you could have if you had time to have it. And I hope that when you get married, you'll look for a man who believes before God it's his responsibility to make you a living and not for you to have to work outside 8 hours a day outside your home in order for you to live, which may mean that you don't need to say yes to the first old boy that comes along. But fellas, you ought to go out into the world and fulfill the responsibility God gave you and allow your wife to fulfill her responsibility. And she can be very, very fulfilled as being your wife, the mother of your children, and give her the time to do her job. Now, if she has to sleep basically 8 hours a day and work outside the home 8 hours a day, she's not going to have very much time left to do the very things God has built her to do. And something's going to suffer, and it'll be your home, and it'll be your ministry. So I would encourage you to give some thought to these things before you marry.
Say
your last deal.
You know, very little is written about the benefits of a homemaker. But when you think about it, and you put it down on paper, it comes out to be a pretty long list. Because I get rent payments, and you'll get this too, rent or payment on a house, food, entertainment, transportation, travel, telephone, utilities, car maintenance, a car, clothes, insurance, doctor, and dental care, privileges of a dating service with a loving escort, never having to worry who your date's going to be, companionship, nursing care when you need it, yard upkeep, chores, hopefully, around the house, security, and so on. And you know, if I had to live by myself, surely I wouldn't have to do some of the cooking that I do, and the laundry would be cut in half, perhaps, and the house wouldn't get quite as dirty. But I'd have I'd have all the other things that a man often does, with the car maintenance, the mowing the yard, the balancing the checkbook, the doing the income tax. And a lot of women take these things for granted. See, there are some benefits. The free time that I have, that women who work do not have. These tasks can be boring to a man, too, and he doesn't get extra pay for them either. And you know, frankly, I consider myself well paid for the household tasks I do. Some aspects of any job are routine and tedious. Why should we think that the responsibilities of a homemaker should be any different? One of the most unrealistic ideas around us today is that every moment of our job should be fulfilling and creative. Whose job is really like that? You know, God has really blessed us and richly blessed us as women. Let's cooperate with Him in living up to our full potential. And I think if I had something written on my tombstone. I won't read it to you, but you go home and read it tonight. And I think this is really something that would be desirable for each one of us as women. And it's Proverbs 31, 28 through 31. And it talks about her husband and her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her work shall be known in the gates. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.